We live in a world where, unfortunately, we all know about being politically correct. We all know how somebody usually gets on the internet or the television or an interview in some way, shape, or form and says something that ends up offending somebody else. We all know the comments that presidents make, not just the Republican ones, but the Democrat ones. We know the politicians, whether they be governors or school boards or township clerks or whoever it is, we all know that there are pastors that say something that offends somebody, or there are actors or actresses or sports figures, and we live in a world where at some point somebody is going to say something in the heat of the moment and somebody else is going to be scandalized or offended, or there is going to be tremendous outrage over what somebody has said. And then usually there's a couple days go by, and that same person then comes back on the internet or the TV and says, "I'm sorry, I was upset, I was angry, I was whatever," and ends up apologizing and maybe asks for forgiveness, maybe. But we all know what it is to be offended, to be scandalized, to be outraged over something someone says or somebody does. And then we all know about how that same person usually ends up apologizing in a way to cool things off so that people aren't as angry. Well, in our point of our story in Mark, 12 disciples are absolutely scandalized, offended, and outraged by what Jesus had just said. In the passage before our scripture this morning, Jesus tells his disciples for the very first time, "We are going to Jerusalem. I am going to be betrayed into the hands of the scribes and the elders and the high priests. They are going to kill me, and on the third day, I will be raised." And the disciples are absolutely outraged. Even to the point when Peter pulls Jesus aside and gives him the old finger. Because he is just absolutely offended that Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem and this was going to happen to him. "It ain't happening to my Jesus," Peter says. "Oh, no." Well, as if that didn't offend them enough, it gets worse. Because Jesus then tells his disciples, "If you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. You need to take up your cross if you're going to follow me carrying my cross." He says, "If you want to save your life, you need to lose it. Because if you try to save it, you actually won't save it. But if you give it up, then you will find it." I can just imagine the 12 disciples standing there going, "He just said what?" Like all the people in today's day and age, there is absolute outrage, absolute scandal, absolute being completely offended that this would happen to Jesus in Jerusalem, and more importantly, it was going to happen to them. It's almost like Jesus lights a fire in their hearts, and not the good kind of fire, because they're starting to burn with, they're starting to question whether they should follow this Jesus. Maybe he is as nuts as everybody says he is. Maybe he's not on the right path, because surely this isn't going to happen to him. They are so completely offended and scandalized, they're even thinking about ceasing to follow Jesus. I wonder how many of us are just as offended and scandalized that Jesus would meet his end as a criminal, as a felon. He didn't just have an easy execution, he had the execution for scum of humanity, crucifixion. It was one of his own 12 that betrayed him. His own people, the leaders, the priests, the scribes, They are the ones who handed Jesus over to foreigners to execute. There is nothing in that story that should not scandalize or offend us. Because by all worldly accounts, Jesus fails on Good Friday. And to make it even worse, he says, if you're going to be my follower, you need to do it too. Wait a minute, what? Deny yourself. Deny yourself? Are you kidding me? It should be exalt yourself, right? We live in a world of competition. Everybody wants to be at the top of the pyramid. Jesus says, choose the bottom. He says, you take up your cross and follow me. I ain't a criminal. I ain't a felon. I ain't carrying no piece of wood to that execution. We spend all of our lives trying to save it. Jesus says, give it up. A life of poverty, self-denial. Can you not feel your hearts begin to burn? Because there's no money, no fame, no life of luxury in following this Jesus Christ. But just as a politician goes on several days later to cool and to soothe the offended spirits, the whole point of Transfiguration Sunday is to cool off and soothe 12 offended disciples. So Jesus takes his closest followers up to the mountain, confused, bewildered, and ticked off that this should happen to Jesus, that this should be their lot. And lo and behold, Jesus changes. He starts to glow. He starts to give off this hidden godly power inside of him. And the mouth and the jaw proceeds to hit the floor. That this human Jesus should have something different inside of him, something that was hidden, something that was mysterious, something that only God has, the glory and the glow of God's power and might. And then Moses and Elijah show up, the two great heroes of the Jewish faith, the one that everybody idolized and respected and studied and looked up to. They are now talking to Jesus like two servants, as if Jesus was the God and they were the servants of him. And then the cloud comes down and settles over them. I can imagine they're freaking out at this point. And most importantly, God's voice booms, "This is my son. Listen to him." Can you not imagine the 12 offended disciples through these three on top of the mountain being told that Jesus' faithful trip to Jerusalem is approved by God? They thought it was a complete and total failure. And yet Jesus glows. Moses and Elijah are there talking to him. And God, very voice from heaven, rubber stamps Jesus. Yes, this is what I want. It's almost as if the burning disciples that have been scandalized and offended, it's almost as if God is spreading aloe to soothe their tortured souls. Yeah, this really is what God wants. It's not going to be a failure by God's standard. It's going to be a rousing success. This is the life that is pleasing to God, a life of self-denial, a life of trust, a life of putting others first, a life of love, sacrifice, and hope. That is the life God wants, and everything about this story is to tell the offended disciples, yes, this is the right way of life. Not the wrong way. But everything that God has done is to lead up to this point. And God's very voice tells us, don't be offended by it. And there is the aloe for our burning souls. Because I can't help but notice that our trip to Jerusalem begins on Wednesday. And we know how it ends. Pain, suffering, betrayal, being God forsaken with nails in his hands and his feet, hanging on a bloody tree in between two criminals. What isn't there to be offended by that? And if we are so offended, we are tempted to quit the journey before we take our first step. So perhaps there is some wisdom in having the Transfiguration the Sunday before Lent to soothe our burning and tortured souls for the trip that we must make with Jesus, that we must be with him at the table with Judas the betrayer, that we might be with Jesus in the garden while everybody is asleep and he is in spiritual agony, that we must be told again of the trial, the unjust trial, with false witnesses brought against him, his own people, to be handed over to Pilate, to be scourged, falsely accused. He dies so that the murderer might go free. We were so offended by Jesus' story that we will quit the journey before we take the first step. And God, in his profound wisdom, lays the aloe for our burning hearts to remind us, don't be offended by a crucified Messiah. Follow him even to Golgotha, and you will find that if you lose your life for his sake, there is an eternal life far better waiting for you. So, my friends, we begin once again another season of Lent. And it's more than pancakes and ashes, perhaps some more prayer or that book that you want to get into that you've been saving for Lent, or you're wanting and committing to saying some more prayers or doing whatever spiritual activities you do or don't do during Lent. But it is more importantly about taking that faithful journey to Jerusalem, to stand with the women watching Jesus die and not being offended, scandalized, or outraged that God's Messiah is the crucified Jesus. So, my friends, God has the aloe ready for us this morning, to calm our outrage, to calm our being offended or scandalized that the baby born in the manger meets this faithful end at the hands of his own people. Perhaps God is truly wise in soothing and assuaging our anguish and torture, that this should be the end of our Jesus. And more importantly, this might be our end as well. So we see a glimpse of Jesus' glory, that this is the life he chose. He could have blown up the world with this power that he has, and yet he chooses to hide it for our sake. We are reminded that Moses and Elijah all testify that this is God's Holy One. The great heroes of the Exodus, the one who went up in the chariot, all must bow before this Jesus. Even the voice of God tells us once again, this is my Son, the one who is crucified. Yes, you truly should listen to him. Even when he tells us to deny ourselves, to take up a cross, and to live a life like his. My friends, we have plenty to be offended about if this is our Jesus, not the Jesus of this on our wall, but the Jesus of that on the back wall. The ugly tree, hanging naked with railroad spikes in his body, having been broken with spit on, leered at, that is our Jesus. Let us not be offended or scandalized that that is the death our God chose. Let us instead be soothed by the grace of God, and let us dare to follow him to that God-forsaken place, to be willing to live a life like his, and we might just find that we have entered into the kingdom of God. My friends, we have much to be offended by a crucified Lord and Messiah. But where else will we find eternal life? Who else is God's true beloved Son? Moses, Elijah, and the voice from heaven tell us this is he. Let us therefore not be scandalized and offended by his meagerness, by his death, and most importantly, by what he asks of us. Let us not be offended. Let us instead be believers and dare to follow him to our own cross. May the crucified and risen Jesus be given our glory, our honor, and our praises for what he has done on behalf of you and of me.